Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Boy, howdy, that is the truth. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France.
Yep, that's me.
Yep, looking
at Rad, what you're doing.
Looking at magazines there.
Roundup, WWE.
That's what he says.
Yeah. It's got pictures in it.
Todd Roberts is in Los Angeles. Howdy, sir.
Gentlemen, how are we today? It is really, really great to be with you both.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And
it is great for you to be with us both.
Yes.
I'm happy to be Todd.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Harry and Bunker.
It's hard to top Todd.
You know, yeah. Hey, we don't necessarily have any specific topic today to shoot the breeze about, but... Yeah, in fact, we do have a specific topic. I found this article, but we'll get to that. But I believe Bunker first has to do his...
Well, coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse, another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Bovine. Play my theme song, Harry.
You're wanting to go to the moon.
Yeah, I like movies. Anyhow, what we're going to do, another edition, and again, I go back 3 days in time from today and go forward 3 days in time, but it's still in the past, and I know a lot of you people wish the whole thing would come to pass, but I'm going to do it to you anyway. On the 5th of January, well, February, excuse me, I got the wrong month here, 1918, on this day, Stephen W. Thompson, flying as a gunner on a French aircraft, became the first member of the U.S. military to shoot down an enemy aircraft. Now, the funny thing is, where I found this, there was a reference to a pilot that had shot down an Indian aircraft about 4 months before. So I'm confused over who did what and who hit who.
If he was flying in was it a French-made aircraft or French insignia?
No, he was flying with the French.
Then, no.
It's confusing.
It's inaccurate.
Harry says it's wrong.
It's inaccurate.
So what I just said, wipe your mind clean. It didn't happen. I never said it. I disavow anything that you might even think I said.
And the secretary definitely will disavow any knowledge of your action.
Yeah, I don't even have any actions. Now, but I do have another day, and that's moving up to the 6th of February in 1756. Aaron Burr was born on this day. He was the third U.S. vice president, known for his pistol duel with Alexander Hamilton, who lost.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the end of him. Yeah. And who said there wasn't any gunfights?
Hey, you know, bring back dueling. It's an honorable thing, I think.
And it also is a good way to get rid of politicians.
There you go.
Yeah, they insult each other, shoot each other. Man, it's going great. Now, on the 7th of February, 1894, the Cripple Creek Miners' Strike. It was a five-month-long strike by the Western Federation of Miners in Cripple Creek, Colorado. It was a victory for the Union, but it led to the California Labor Wars that lasted from 1903 to 1904. And there is an interesting side note on that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few labor strifes where the National Guard came out and helped the miners.
Hmm.
That is unusual. Most of the time they were shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously that was the 7th. Now we're moving to February 8, 1887. The Dawes Act was passed. Now that is a heinous, nasty thing that happened, and somebody should be shot. But anyhow, what that did is the Dawes Act authorized the federal government to divide native land, tribal lands, and resulting in the loss of, listen to this number, 90 million acres. My people got screwed. Pardon my French. Okay, now on the 9th of February in 1773, William Henry Harrison was born. Now, you might say, who the heck he was, which means you're pretty ignorant about your American history. He was the 9th U.S. president, known for serving the shortest term in history, 32 days. He was followed by his vice president, John Tyler. And you might remember that from Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. That was Harrison's slogan. Now,
His time in office was shorter than Zachary Taylor.
Who?
Zachary Taylor.
Oh, it was 32 days.
Yep, but Taylor, he caught pneumonia and died in office.
But
he wouldn't wear a coat.
Yeah.
He wouldn't wear a coat at his outdoor inauguration. His aides told him to wear a coat.
Right.
He said, "I don't need to wear a coat. I am a strapping man."
Yeah.
But you got to realize, too,
the
time from
when
he
got pneumonia and died.
Mm-hmm.
The time from when he was took
office. He might have been strapping, but he was far more stupid.
Well, definitely stupid. But the time from when he took office to the inauguration was more than 32 days.
Well, that's very true.
So
it was. They used to do them in March.
Yes. That's because they like to march.
I don't know why, but whatever.
Now we're going to move on here to February 10th, 1763. Now pay attention. The Treaty of Paris was signed. Now you know what's important about that Treaty of Paris?
What was the date?
1763.
That was the end of the French-Indian War.
Very good, Harry. 7-year war, the French and Indian War, and the main conflict is over the Ohio River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that reminds me that at an early age, while I was still in high school, I went on a kick of reading historical novels about the Ohio Valley,
mm-hmm.
which they were westerns.
Yes, they were.
Mississippi. Now, February 11th. I'm going to finish this all up, and I know you guys are thankful. You're praying really hard that he'll finish it quickly. That's why I'm staggering here. Anyhow, on February 11th, 1847, Thomas Edison was born. Now, you're asking yourself, who the heck is Thomas Edison?
Hello?
He was an iconic inventor.
Mm-hmm.
He held over 1,000 patents. He invented the light bulb so we could read late at night. The phonograph, so we could listen to it while we were reading, and the motion picture, which we can now watch in reruns on TV.
Well, he also stole a lot of patents.
Oh, he was. And he sued a lot of people.
That he did.
I mean, he controlled the motion picture industry mm-hmm. for quite a few years with his patent on the camera.
Speaking of motion pictures, just before we went to our live stream, we were watching Death Valley Days episode,
yes.
filmed here in Tucson, in fact, at the White Stallion Ranch.
That's right.
And our own Bucker DeFrance and Neil Summers were in that
episode. Yeah, we were
episode.
Working around in the posse.
Yeah, they were riding horses.
Yes.
We only knew it was Bunker because
he had the black hat on.
He had the black hat on, but he was also trying to not look at the camera.
No, I was trying to hide from the camera. I never look at the camera.
I know. All right. Well, all right. You know, I went to the grocery store this afternoon, and I was just amazed at how many people there were in there shopping, specifically in the soda aisles, the beer aisles, and the snack aisles, which leads me to wonder, is there something big happening this weekend?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
The Olympics. Winter Olympics.
The Stupid Bowl.
Oh, that doesn't count. It's the Winter Olympics or the biggest sport event of the winter.
Well, I want to see a bowl game called the Toilet Bowl. That would be the worst teams in the league to play against one another. See who...
You mean one of an Arizona team?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, so on to what I think is an interesting article here. This was appeared December 3 of last year at thefederalist.com, and it's in their culture section, and the headline is New York Times journos just can't wrap their heads around why Americans love cowboys, and it essentially the subhead says, it proves they really don't know anything about America. Hayden
the
Daniel.
The Cowboys or the New York Times?
The New York Times, of course. Okay. Hayden Daniel is the author of this piece. And it's...
Where's he from?
He has a degree in history.
Oh, that explains everything.
Well, he's a staff writer for the organization there. So he writes that the very serious journalists over at the New York Times, you know, they are the paper of record in the United States. I wonder how in the world you get to become the paper of record, because...
They outlasted everybody.
No. There's got to be something else. I mean,
They know where all the bodies are buried?
Well, the Washington Post is good for bird cages. They don't wrap fish in it anymore because the ink comes off.
But, I noticed there's a lot of birds dying.
Well, that's because they're reading the Post. Anyway, he says... He writes that the New York Times apparently just can't wrap their heads around why Americans love all things country and rural. And an attempt to get to the bottom of this supposed mystery, the Times assembled a crack team of experts to investigate this supposedly new phenomenon and explain why Americans love cowboys, country music, and everything down home. Well, we don't necessarily love country music. We love Western music, and we love cowboys.
And Americana and blues.
And everything else down home.
Yeah.
So what are we saying here? From the names in the byline, it's safe to say that the investigation did not get very far. Times Opinion editor Mayor Ahmad sat down with photo editor Emily Keegan and columnist sociologist Tressie McMillian Cottam, and the transcript detailing their conversation titled "The Aesthetic That Explains American Identity Now" contains just about all the self-awareness and insight you'd expect from an outlet that still, a decade later, doesn't understand why people voted for Donald Trump.
I want to say something.
Please do. Let's jump in there.
That guy, you said the guy was a sociologist? That's another word for Marxist.
Well, maybe so, yeah. I mean,
socialist.
So sociologist.
Marxist,
yeah, columnist and sociologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
We know his ilk.
You know, the aesthetic that explains American identity now. These are such esoteric subjects that,
You need an expert to explain it.
Well, no.
They think so.
Yeah, apparently. And they still can't understand why people voted for Donald Trump.
Wow.
Well, okay. He writes, there's been an ongoing mainstreaming of all things country and rural. Think of shows like Yellowstone, The Hunting Wives. And Ahmad began the conversation, so what does the mainstream embrace of this aesthetic say about our society and about our politics? Of course, they're determining that Trump deserves at least some of the credit, or in their minds, the blame, for the rise of the country aesthetic. So what is it? What is about the embrace of this aesthetic that says about our society? Frankly, they don't understand.
Our society.
Our society.
Yeah.
Todd?
Well, although I'm not going to argue that they don't understand our society, I think it's a little bit deeper than that.
Insidious.
But at the same time, it's simpler. It's simpler than that. They don't understand the history of this country.
There you go.
Was there racism and sexism? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, every time, throughout history, from the beginning to
now. And by the way, there is racism and sexism today,
mm-hmm,
in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been much worse for some than others? Yes, absolutely. But beyond all that, I would say that the West is probably the, although there is tremendous amounts of racism, sexism, the West is the least racist and the least sexist, comparatively per capita.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at larger cities throughout the Northeast and so on, this myth that racism only existed in the South is a myth. Was it less than it was then in the South? Was it less up in the Northeast? Of course it was. But, you know, we know that, you know, Ku Klux Klan was very prominent at one point in this country. And in the 20s, the governor of Indiana, who was a Grand Dragon of the Klan in the state of Indiana, was on his way, quite possibly, to getting the nomination to run for president.
Hell, Robert Byrd, senator from Virginia, I believe.
He was a Grand Dragon also of the state of West Virginia.
Yeah.
It's also important to remember that at one time, the Klan marched down Washington, D.C. They had a huge parade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, beyond the fact, beyond all the obvious things, which is that they're racist and they're anti-Semitic and all their other major problems and flaws, let's just go down to the basic fundamental belief and understanding of who the Klan is. The Klan was born out of the destruction and the loss of the Confederacy in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Vacuum.
So the Klan is an extension of the Southern rebel movement. The War of the Rebellion, as Thomas Mitchell playing Doc in Stagecoach said.
Mm-hmm.
And John Carradine, a Southerner, playing the gambler, gets all offended. He said, "You mean the War of Northern Aggression?" He said, "No, sir. No. I mean the War of the Rebellion."
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they did. So beyond that, let's leave that alone, the Civil War as a subject. The Civil War ends, and a few years later, what happens?
Jim Crow.
The Klan, those guys were originally guerrillas. The guerrillas from the South, the Confederacy, decided to, you know, kind of become a little more organized, a little more, shall we say, prolific,
mm-hmm.
and so on. So they created an organization, and they had their rituals and their oaths and all the rest of it. But they weren't proud enough of it to not wear a hood.
I know. Doesn't that make you wonder? And on that wonder...
Now, there is... Right. Well, there is that argument, you know, amongst those in the South who are not defending the Klan, but are saying, well, you know, they did that because they wanted to, you know, be invisible.
Uh-huh.
And scare the black Americans and scare other Americans who didn't agree with them.
The poor farmers.
Well, whatever their reason for doing that,
it was effective.
It was effective, and it was cowardly.
Right, completely cowardly. So how can the U.S. government at the time allow them to walk down, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue?
We'll answer that
in the middle of the day proudly.
We'll answer that question after the first commercial break. Way to bring it up, Todd. It's Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
Rebel
Harry
Rouser.
Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I've been riding range all my life. I never paid to ride across anybody's land. I don't reckon I'll be starting now. Come on, Lucky, we'll take the mountain trail.
Yeah, I never had a hankering to associate with sneaking coyotes anyway.
Why do you...
Take it easy, cowboy. You'll just stick to your toll collecting. You might live to a ripe old age.
This is the Voices of the West.
Now little Joe the Wrangler, he'll wrangle nevermore. His days on the Remuda, they are o'er. 'Twas a year ago last April that he rode into our camp, just a little Texas stray and all alone. He said he had to leave his home, his pa had married twice. His new ma licked him every day or two.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you, the little Joe the Wrangler. That is Leon Goble Reeves, I believe it is. Anyway, a true cowboy singing a true cowboy song.
He is the real deal, folks. That's music to my ears.
All right, so Todd, why could the Klan march down Pennsylvania Avenue in broad daylight?
Well, you have two reasons. The first reason is you had people who were sympathetic to them, and then you had the other percentage of people who were apathetic to them, and then you had a third percentage who were afraid of them.
I think there's a more overriding reason, and that's called the First Amendment. We may not agree with what the issue...
I don't disagree with all of that.
Yeah, with what the issue says, but, you know, hey, I'll defend their right to say it.
Well, let me ask a question on that.
But I would say to you, hold on one second, Bunker.
Well, just you can answer it, Toddy, because the question's for you. Back then, the First Amendment wasn't really an issue that was brought up.
Whether it was or not, it's not something that was brought up like it is today. And people use the First Amendment as a club, yeah. And it's not. You know what?
When you are
working for a business, and the business says you may not go out and demonstrate, and you tell the business, "I have that First Amendment right." No, you don't. You've got the right of what the business tells you. The First Amendment only addresses complaints. You can complain against the government. That's it.
Yeah, you
on your own time.
On your own time. Yeah, exactly.
On your own time.
Yep.
Not while you're in the military,
you can't do it on any time.
Exactly.
And if you're in, and by the way, if your work has you wearing a uniform, you can also not protest.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have signed a contract with your employment agreement. Mm-hmm. But back to what I was saying is, the reason I say, and I will get to the point here, is that, you know, you had people who were supporting them, apathetic to them, and then fearful of them. And that's why it was allowed to happen, because as we see, nobody went out in the street and protested them down the street, although they should have been, because they're the most anti-American thing there is. And my example of that is the great Texas Ranger who used to arrest Klan members. And how he survived, I have no idea. Back in the 30s and the 40s.
He was a Texan.
It's amazing that they didn't blow up his car, blow up his house, burn his house down, or intimidate him with fear for his family. But that right there, that is America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the journalists and the media and many people don't understand. By the way, fellas, let me also say that I've met conservatives who don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Truly what this is. They, sure. They love America. They love the Constitution. They're all in for, you know, things of conservative values and issues. But they don't understand why it is.
Yep.
And what it, and the root of all of it, and I'm probably oversimplifying it, is freedom. It's a pursuit of freedom.
Yep.
And without it, we have nothing.
Well, that's why you have to pull out the crayons and the puppets for the folks who don't understand what the hell is going on.
Well, following up.
So let me take it a step further, and I'll do this one really quick, is we see this example in Hollywood constantly. It's just never ending. But let me throw a monkey wrench into a lot of people's brains this afternoon. The Matrix is a conservative message film. It's a conservative mm-hmm. message because the people who are living in the Matrix are the people who are going along to get along and not cause a fuss. They're sheep. I don't, from my experience, and I could be wrong, but from my experience, I don't often see sheep in the conservative pockets of this country or in the independent pockets of this country. Mm-hmm. I see it on the other side. Now, the other side will say that people who are conservative, they're just going along and they're, you know, licking the boots of whoever's in power or whatever or whatever. Yeah, but we have the option to not lick those boots.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are those who are. But try doing that on the left.
No, you can't. It's impossible.
You can't. And I only have one thing to say as my final point on this subject. Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
The largest rap singer selling of albums ever. Ever. And a woman to boot. So it's even harder. And she comes out and says some things and goes and sits at the White House with the president, and the left and the recording community and the Hollywood community and the entertainment community now have subjugated her that she's lower than somebody on a reality show.
Yeah.
She is the largest single recording artist in the rap music world, and she has been subjugated to almost invisible. And why? Because she went against their byline.
All right,
is not freedom.
Let's get
so there. You go.
Let's get back to our article here. He continues that the New York Times folk discuss the trend in terms only used in the critical studies departments on college campuses. never in the honky tonk. And that's the best place to discuss these kinds of things. It's in the honky tonk. You know, yeah. They theorize about power structures, systemic racism, and symbolic nostalgia to try to explain why normal people like cowboy hats, country music, and the show Yellowstone. All right, now I'm going to tell you something. I don't necessarily like country music. I like old country music. I like Western
retro
music.
Yeah.
Yellowstone, I watched the first episode, don't know what the hell it's about, don't really care.
I like it.
Didn't do anything for me, but I do love my cowboy hats.
You know,
it's the Sopranos in the West.
Yeah, you know,
that's what it is.
It did not. Yeah, it did not attract me as much as it did the rest of the nation.
You know, one of the things here is we sometimes discuss movies we like and don't like, and liking something basically comes down to our frame of reference, meaning that some people like older movies better than what's being done today.
Sure.
And they're doing good movies today. The problem is a lot of the movies don't suit other people's taste. They still love Westerns. They still love the movies. It's just, it's not their cup of tea, Western.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is going back kind of to what Todd was saying. He mentioned that Texas Ranger. What made that Texas Ranger like he was is he was a Westerner. Mm-hmm. He was a Texan. And it's back when Texans were Texans and not a bunch of yahoos. And the thing is, if you look, it's like you talk about prejudice. You go on a ranch, a working ranch, you'll find every type of race, creed, color, religion. You'll have women cowboys nowadays, all that stuff. But the one thing, the only prejudice a cowboy has is, if you can't do the job, get the hell out of Dodge. Because it's about merit. It's what you can do, not what you say, not the color of your hat. It's all about being able to deliver. And you look at the movies. What, for Harry, Yellowstone doesn't deliver. I loved Yellowstone, but not as much as I loved Tulsa Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well,
go ahead.
It's funny you say this, because Nola always will say at work to people, she says it to other people, don't tell me what you can do, show me what you can do. That is the cowboy model.
That's the motto of the cowboy. Yep.
Number one. But number two, she loved Yellowstone. So then we watched 1923. She loved that even more. She was like, I can't wait. I can't take it. We got to watch another one. I'm like, honey, it's 11 o'clock. We got to go to bed.
I hate sleeping.
Can we watch just another one? So now we watch that. It's over. So now we start watching. Well, we love Dark Winds, too. But we started watching Tulsa King, and she's like, okay, whatever. All right, fine.
We'll good.
And she gets into it, and now she's like, I think I'm getting hooked on Tulsa King.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the subject matter is not necessarily her thing. She loves Landman. She loves it. But if we look at all these shows, these are all shows about people who are self-sufficient, pull their own weight. They don't talk about what they do. They do what they do, and they don't. That's where they leave it.
Do you think that's the...
And they don't back down.
Do you think that's the uniqueness of Taylor Sheridan in how he developed the program?
I think it's Taylor Sheridan as a person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he identifies as. That's who he identifies with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you might not like the subject matter of Sons of Anarchy, but there's a lot of cowboys in that show.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real cowboys. Yeah. And you know, the thing, too, is like his Wind River, for some reason, I don't cater too much to FBI stories. I don't know why, I just don't. But Wind River, which is really more about a game warden, that just nailed me.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. Because, you know, it approached the American Indian, their situation, their problems, cotton candy. It starts out brutally, you know, and it ends brutally.
Well, Longmire is like that too.
Yeah.
We got to do our next commercial break here on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts with you. We're prospecting for stuff.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away, it'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000 square foot clubhouse, 200 full service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
The sheriff is secretly calling in help from the outside. A gentleman he's never seen but who's supposed to be...
Who's the guy?
Rocky Lane was the name he used.
Did you say Rocky Lane?
I believe I did.
You know him? Know him. I cracked a safe in Wichita one day. Lane slaps me in jail the next.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. It's a prospecting day. We're just shooting the breeze here and talking about this.
We're going down the hole.
Yeah, talking about this particular article that was found in the Federalist.com on December 3rd of last year. And the article's titled New York Times Journos Just Can't Wrap Their Heads Around Why Americans Love Cowboys. And that must be why they're New York Times journalists. I don't know. So anyway, they
think about this. The New York Times bestseller list almost never gets a Western on there unless by some chance it wins a Pulitzer or a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
That's about the only time.
Yeah.
They don't review them. They don't review Westerns, history or fiction.
Well, one of the editors on this, or writers on this piece, said, "And after the second Trump win, what I noticed was there was a big cowboy trend that took off. Denim is big. Denim has always been around. Western culture is big. Western culture has always been around. SNL, Saturday Night Live, when they used to be funny, this season,
funny.
I know, had a musical act in its in a hayloft. Real Tree coming in and dominating the sweatshirt world, whatever that is, the Real
That's
Tree.
That's the working man, the sweatshirt world.
Oh, okay.
Real Tree is, they make camouflage clothes.
Oh, okay.
You know, red flannel shirt.
All right. They then begin...
No. Camo.
That's
patterned.
That's clothing. Idaho.
Yeah. Well,
that's Real Tree.
Yeah.
That's what they make.
Anyway,
they make everything in camo.
So they then begin to explain what camo apparel is, and assuming their audience won't know what they're talking about, they use the most baffling examples: pop star Chappelle Rowan's merch, and the hair. I have no idea. And the Harris Walls...
Chapel Roan, she's a singer.
Okay. And the Harris Walls campaign's laughable camo hats.
Now, you know, I associate camo with going out for hunting season.
I associate camo with...
and military.
Being in the jungle.
Yeah. Well, that's what you wore.
That's what I wore.
See, and then you didn't have to wear camo unless you were
If you're hunting
seal.
Throughout North America, you want to blend in, you wear camo.
Of course.
So, but the problem here is that,
That's a fashion statement.
Paris Walls campaign, they started printing up hats, camo hats, and were trying to sell them. And you saw Governor Walls, vice president nominee, wearing his camo hat and...
That's so you couldn't see him.
And then they put a shotgun in his hand and sent him outside.
And he couldn't load
a field
it.
To hunt birds.
And he couldn't load it.
And he couldn't load it. And then, it's just, it's all play.
In the words of the great Bugs Bunny, what a maroon.
Yeah. Or in the words of Mandrake the Magician, smoke and mirrors.
Well, they think that if you put a cowboy hat on, then you're a cowboy. No. No.
Not
you put
even.
Camo on, then you're a country person.
Not no. even. No, no.
I have
you
a
like
saying.
Barbecue.
I have a saying. I'll
puppies.
Repeat it over and over.
No.
A pair of boots and a cowboy hat. Don't care who wears them.
Well, okay.
Well, let me move on here.
the truth is that our people's love for the country and Western aesthetic is not some new phenomenon. America has been obsessed with the West, in quotes, and the rural rugged frontier since before its inception. One of the reasons for the revolution was the desire to push west past the boundary set by the British Crown and the Proclamation of 1763, which forbade colonial settlement west of the Appalachian Mountains.
The Ohio River.
Yeah, the founders regarded the simple independent farmer as the backbone of the Republic and the ideal citizen, with Thomas Jefferson declaring, "The small landholders are the most precious part of a state." You know, if they could see that back then, what the hell is wrong with people that they can't see that
think
now?
Think about this. Up until Up until World War One, the population majority was rural. It wasn't
I know.
In the cities.
And it was agriculture. I understand that. Go ahead, Todd.
Well, yeah, Bunker's point is so true. But the other thing is that, you know, people used to get their experience from being outdoors. Then people started getting their experience from books. Then they started getting their experience from the magazines, and then they started getting their experience from the radio, and then they started getting it from the television, and now they get it from a computer, and now they get it from their phone.
In AI.
Each step is a farther step away from reality, where food comes from.
Yeah.
And where warmth comes from.
Yep.
And where, you know, how could you close yourself? How could you feed yourself if you were out in the wilderness? And it's almost a novelty when you watch television and you see these shows of Alone and Naked and Afraid and so on and so forth. Of
Survivor.
Know, oh my God, look at that. How could you do that? How could you be out there? Well, you know, I wouldn't go out in the wilderness naked and afraid, because I think the title of the show should be called Naked, Afraid, and Stupid.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's this progression away from reality, realism, and self-determination, self-responsibility towards a
socialist culture doesn't want that.
You know, one big feel good of, you know, my dopamine goes off because my phone gets so many hits on social media. That's where we're at.
Yeah, unfortunately.
40 years ago or 50 years ago, the farmer was getting dopamine off in his head by watching his crops grow.
Sure.
And feeding his family.
Yeah.
Now it's off of, you know, I refer to it as cotton candy. You know, it looks good, and boy, you like that first taste of cotton candy when you haven't had it so long, since you were a kid or whatever. But you eat enough of it, and you feel sicker than the dog. Because there's nothing to it.
Yep.
It's worthless.
Sugar.
You know, it has
no shelf life.
I want to do a commercial right now for Range Magazine, because this magazine is written by farmers and ranchers for farmers and ranchers, and all it does is talk about what we're talking about, and it's about the survival of America's culture, the real America that has its toes in the mud, and you know, and it's got its plow reins in its hands, and it's the America that feeds America,
sure,
not the America that tries to steal our brains and minds.
No. So the article goes on, the Wild West has been a fixture even in crowded East Coast cities since the first dime store novels in the 1860s. And the cowboy became iconic with the first silent films of the 1900s and the 10s. The cowboy continued to dominate the silver screen up to the 1970s, and he has become an international symbol of America itself. John Wayne is still known all over the world and is indisputably one of the most famous Americans to ever live. And it's not for his turn as Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
So, the drive toward the frontier, the taming of the hostile wilderness, and the carving out of a place for oneself to profit by the fruit of one's labors is the founding myth of America, just as we talked about earlier. It's always been with us ever since the men of the Virginia Company set foot on a small marshy patch of land in eastern Virginia in 1607. And that myth has been with us since, not as a way to hold up existing power structures or excuse the oppression of minorities, but as a reverence for the grit that it took to create a civilization on this vast continent. It reminds us of where we came from, by golly.
We've been reinventing ourselves ever since.
Yeah. So, you know, for the journalists over at the New York Times to be this obtuse about America's love for the West and the country's aesthetic is to admit that they don't really know anything about America.
They don't know history.
Well, of course they don't. They're New York Times reporters. You know,
well, you know what it is? They know history, but what they know is the revised history that they're busy revising.
It's yet another example of leftists trying to cast as weird and outdated something that, up until recently, was so normal that it was taken for granted, like public Christianity. Mm-hmm. No matter how much leftists try to make it a dog whistle for racism and sexism, and admiration for all things country and rural is, and always has been, the norm in America. And with that, I'm going to take our next commercial break.
It's about time.
Our final commercial break of the program, and we'll be back with a wrap-up here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts with you.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and dogs. donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Why did you come here?
I have an idea. We can be of some help to each other.
In what way?
You want Fuzzy's ranch? I want money.
You're plenty cold-blooded about it.
I've learned you have to be cold-blooded or be a sucker.
This is the Voices of the West.
I got a gal outside, but I ain't gonna let her in. I got a gal outside, but I ain't gonna let her in. Make her stand and wait till she tells me where she's been.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts with you. And some Johnny Bond there.
That's some good jitterbug.
That's some good jitterbug in there.
Yeah.
All right, to recap what all has happened this afternoon on this program, the New York Times has no clue why Americans love cowboys and all things West and all things rural.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most things rural, I guess. No Circle K's out there as far as my wife is concerned. You got to move to a certain near Circle K.
You go to 7-Eleven.
Well, there's got to be one or the other there. So essentially,
Wiggly.
You know, they're not. That's a grocery store. They're not a convenience.
I'd rather go to a grocery store.
Yeah. Anywho,
more convenient.
It's a shame that I'd love to read the article that the New York Times folk put out about this. New York Times stuff is always behind a paywall. And I don't pay for news like that.
You know, it's funny. I, 'cause now that I am on the internet, I kept getting all these New York Times ads and stuff. And finally, I realized, hey, that's what the spam button's for.
They want you to subscribe. Todd, what do you think?
Well, I just think, you know, is this country perfect? No. Does it have its flaws? Yes. Is there racism, sexism? Yes.
There'll always be.
Have some experienced it more than others? Yes. Is it? Can you find it in every corner, with every group, and or side of every issue? Yes, but surely can.
But do you have to go searching for it?
Well, yes, that's true.
And why do you proselytize it?
Well, in certain places, it's easier to find than others about the subject of the people on the other side. But still, nonetheless, what I'll say is, this is, you know, and I forget the politician who said it about this country and our system of government. Oh, it's awful. But compared to all the others, it's the best there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best there is. And until somebody can find a better one, I'll stick with this one. And
I hope that, you know, I hope it stays that way, because that's not going that way.
Hey, it's lasted 250 years, so there's no reason why it should not.
Well, and when people tell me how horrible it is here and this and that, and I always say the same thing. I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, but why don't you move?
Yeah.
If it's so horrible, why don't you leave? I don't see.
They're leaving California more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see anybody swimming to Cuba.
I saw on social media Amy Schumer is fixing to move out of the country, and I responded take your idiot brother with you. That would be Chucky Schumer.
Let's start.
No, that's their cousins.
Let's start one of the GoFundMe things for her tickets.
Or distant cousins.
But, yeah, we could do it. Know, yeah, GoFundMe.
Ellen DeGeneres just moved back last week.
And what's his face?
All these other people who said they were going to leave under the current conditions still haven't.
Yeah.
I think they came to the same conclusion that we have, which is, yeah, it's flawed, and yeah, it's not perfect, and yeah, sometimes it can be bad for certain people more than others, but it's still the best there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sad thing is all the people leaving California, most of them are coming to Arizona, and they're bringing, they're
well,
not
that's
escaping
true too.
It, they're bringing it.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. It's unfortunate. I agree with you, but, you know, hopefully...
Now, you're welcome to move over here, Todd.
In the new environment, they might... The new environment might clear their head. We'll see.
Yeah.
You got to be hopeful.
I know hope springs eternal. I understand that, but...
Yes.
You know...
Bob Hope?
No, not Bob Hope.
Oh.
Hope Lang. Boy, there's a name out of
speaking.
There's a name out of the past, and I don't even know why it came up.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Now think about it. Now there was an American. He was born in England, but he was as American as you can be.
Bob Hope. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And funny.
Definitely entertained the troops, and that's what matters. So, what else do we want to talk about this? We got a few moments left.
I've got something here for
quickly.
You. This is from the WWA, some of their awards, and they every year they have a new addition to their Western Writers Hall of Fame, an inductee. And this year's inductee, and I'm reading his book of poetry now, Charles Badger Clark. Sun and Saddle Leather and Grass Grown Trails. And if you love cowboy poetry, man, this guy, he can spin them words like you wouldn't believe.
Okay.
And let's see, what else is in? There's some other stuff here. What do we got here? No, that's no good. Okay.
Did they spell our name right in there?
Okay. Now, this is one of the new, I think this is a new category for the Spurs, but Radio DJ and Radio Program of the Year, Kevin Tuckfield for Tuck. I guess that's the name of the show, Tuck. And what else we got?
Does it say where it's at located?
No, it doesn't say in here. Hmm. Western Album of the Year, that's for Western music. On the Trail with the Lonesome Pines, Hillary Gardner. And we got Songwriter of the Year, Chris Gunther. Working Cowboy Song of the Year, As Cowboy as They Come by Aspen Black. She can sing too. Western Swing Album of the Year. I love Western Swing. Tommy Duncan and
oh, yeah.
You know. Anyhow, Western Swing Album of the Year, From the Saddle to Symphony Hall by Dave Alexander. And what else we got here? Is she going up here? He's gone with the West. Yeah, no, that's no good. That's no good. I'm running out of stuff here. Oh, Male Poet of the Year is Tom Swearingen. Very good poetry. Female Poet of the Year, Sherry Cederberg. I don't know her. Cowboy Poetry CD of the Year. Now, these folks might want to go out and get one of these. Cowboying with God by Rick Yonder Goddell. Cowboy Poetry Book of the Year. Pensive and Playful by Mark Manzurk. Oh, Liz Masterson Crescendo Award. This was a quite, she was a dynamic lady. The Arizona Wildflowers, that's a group. And Liz Masterson, she was one of the foundation people with the Western Music Association. And just a fireball, funny, talented, and died very early too soon.
Well, the latest Western I watched was Gentlemen with Guns, 1946. Buster Crabbe and Fuzzy.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. And we also watched Roy Rogers, No Dale Evans.
I bet you were pining away.
Oh, that. No, I was making sure there was none.
Mute.
And Old Caliente.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was. Too many songs, though. But other than that, it was pretty good. That about wraps up this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, and until next time we get together.
78, 79, 80 O's, and we'll be issuing pitchforks and torches as soon as the show is over.
Go and get them while they're hot. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.